Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for all that you've done for us. And now, Father, I ask that you would bless and anoint as we bring the word today as you've laid it upon our heart. And we give you praise and we give you glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, many times, as you probably realized, a song may be an inspiration for a message, at least the title of the song or a word in the song or something. And a few weeks back, I was thinking about what I would be speaking on one of the programs, and the words to a song came to my mind, just a few of the words, in fact, actually just the first line of the song. But Julia Ward Howe wrote this song back in 1862. I know some say it was 1861. And it's been published over the years in over 466 hymnals, plus other publications, sang in various venues over the past 150 years. The song is officially titled The Battle Hymn of the Republic, but it's also widely recognized by the first line of the first verse. The first line, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And I want you to think on that for just a moment. I looked this up in Wikipedia. According to what Wikipedia says about the song, it says, "This song links the judgment of the wicked at the end of the age, Old Testament Isaiah 63, New Testament Revelation 19, with the American Civil War." And I'm sure she was drawing on some similarities there as to what many were thinking at that time as she wrote this particular song. But first, the first verse of the song goes, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." And then the refrain is, "Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah." And we as Christians today should be singing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on." It has four other verses which we won't deal with today. But as I was thinking about this, I begin to look back at the past and then to the future. And I was thinking of events that took place approximately 2,000 years ago when Jesus, Yeshua, as it is in Hebrew, the only begotten Son of God, was born of a virgin in a little town called Bethlehem. You know, there's a Christmas song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and I'm sure that most of you are familiar with that song. And roughly 700 years before Jesus was born, in that little town called Bethlehem, a prophet by the name of Micah prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." 700 years before he was born, before Jesus was born, in Bethlehem Ephratah, Micah wrote, "There's going to be a ruler that comes out of this place. And he has been told from old, from everlasting." From everlasting goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan was cursed by God and was told that the seed of the woman would crush his seed. And 800 years before Micah wrote this, Isaiah wrote in chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning God with us. And for approximately 800 years, people were looking for a coming Messiah. But the sad thing is, when he came, many missed it. Oh, they'd heard about this baby that was born. They heard about the works that he did as an adult. They heard about his crucifixion on the cross at Calvary. But they still missed it. Why did they miss it? Because they were looking for a king who would come and deliver them from the Romans, and once again allow them to set up their own kingdom, their own land, their own leadership. And I sometimes think about what it must have been like for those who were alive 2,000 years ago. They witnessed this event, and some believed. But they were a part of one of the greatest things to take place in the history of the world. The birth of the Son of the Living God, His only begotten Son. And during this time that Jesus visited us on planet Earth, He spoke during His 33 years of many things that were to come. And as it was getting along toward the end of His time before the crucifixion, He spoke to them one day about the destruction of the temple. And quite honestly, they were finding it hard to believe that this could happen again, because the temple had been destroyed before, and surely the second temple would not be destroyed. It would not be torn down like the first temple, the Temple of Solomon, had been. And so they begin to ask Him, "Well, Jesus, tell us, what's going to happen?" And in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus gives what is believed by many, or called by many, to be the Olivet Discourse, or Discourse of the Olivet Prophecy. And it says here in chapter 24, verse 3 of the book of Matthew, "And as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him patiently, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" So as Jesus begins to talk to them, here He goes on to sing in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And I want to stop for just a moment there, because there are a lot of deceivers out there today. My wife was watching a program on television last night about someone who came along, and he didn't claim to have a new religion per se, but he had a method of self-improvement that he deceived many people. And this has happened time and time again, some in the name of religion, some through other means that they have done, that there have been these deceivers, these false Christs, these false prophets, these false teachers. And so the things that Jesus spoke of here in the remaining verses of chapter 24, some of them came to pass in fairly immediate future for those folks. Others took place over the centuries. And now here we are 2,000 years later, and we are witnessing in our own lifetime the fulfillment of the events of Jesus' prophecy. Our eyes have seen the glory of the Lord, because we have seen His prophecies fulfilled. One of the things that we have seen fulfilled this very year is the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And I was alive at the time Israel was reborn, My wife was alive at the time Israel was reborn. We have been here to see these events take place. There are many of you who may be listening to this program today that have witnessed over the years the things that have taken place in the nation of Israel. Something that had never occurred in the past, and quite frankly will never happen again. The birth of a nation in a day. After its people were brought back from being scattered all over the earth for 2,000 years. Yet they've reestablished themselves as a nation. They've reestablished the language. They've reestablished many of the traditions and things that they did during that time. But Jesus went on to say, some would claim to be Christ, and there were those that claimed to be the Messiah in his day. There are some that claim to be the Messiah today. And we have witnessed in the last 15, 20 years, in some cases a little bit more than that, of people who have come on the scene and claimed that they were Christ, maybe claiming to be Jesus, leading many astray, leading many to destruction, and we have witnessed this taking place. That there would be wars and rumors of wars, and in the last century, we have seen more wars, more devastating wars, than in the history of the world. Wars that encompass every nation just about on the globe. And we've seen them in our lifetime. And we live under constant rumor of war. Right now, there's rumors of wars that could break out. There are wars that are taking place. There are battles going on. There are nations that are under attack. We've seen and witnessed these events. Nation rising up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Daily we see this. We see it around the globe. No matter where you're at, some part of the area of the world where you live is affected by these things. He said you would see earthquakes, and we have seen earthquakes. We've seen some very devastating earthquakes in the last 100 years. Some that have been extremely destructive. And along with that, though it's not prophesied here in this particular verse or chapter, volcanic eruptions, and we're witnessing right now on the island of Hawaii this massive volcanic eruption that is taking place, that is destroying hundreds of homes, that is driving people away from where they live, and the destruction has yet to end. There is talk about the supervolcano in the Yellowstone here in the United States that it could erupt, and if it erupted, its potential of destroying probably 25 to 30% of the United States. Events that could happen. We're seeing them start to take place. Famines. Some of the world is in famine today. People can barely eke out a living. They can barely provide for their families. They barely have enough food to put on the table. Pestilence, disease. Disease runs rampant. There are more diseases today than we've ever had in history. We've seen this with our own eyes. Fearful events. I'll tell you, it's fearful sometimes just to walk down the street in any major city of the world. Sometimes in the little rural towns, where I was growing up particularly, and even now in some of them, people don't lock their doors at night because they've had no crime. And yet, even in these little sleepy hollows, so to speak, we're seeing crime and fearful events take place. He talked again of more false prophets that would arise, and there are false prophets abundant. There are false prophets who prophesy in the name of Christ. There are false prophets who claim to be of God. There are false prophets who are leading people astray today, leading them down the wide path to destruction. Jesus said this was going to happen 2,000 years ago, and we witness it today. Apostasy. Apostasy. You think about that maybe as a Christian, you think about apostasy as somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, or somebody who's not a Christian, or maybe even some other religion. But apostasy has to do with those who are believers who have turned their back on God and have perverted the truth of the Word of God. He said he would turn some over to an apostate mind. And we're seeing that happen today in such a way that we've never seen before. And I want you to know, folks, it's getting worse. Persecution of the followers of Jesus Christ. There's persecution out there. People throughout the world are being persecuted for their belief in Jesus Christ. There are people that are being put to death for their belief in Jesus Christ. Even here in America, which is supposed to be freedom of religion, we are seeing Christians persecuted because they follow what Jesus said. They believe and obey the laws of the Bible and the Word of God. And because of that, they are persecuted for their faith. And we're seeing it happen more and more. We've seen these events. And these sound terrible, and they are. But he also goes on to talk about that the message of the gospel would go around the world. And I tell you, folks, if you've been alive in this the last 50, 60 years, your eyes have seen the glory of this event happening. Years ago, 50 years ago, we couldn't imagine, or 60 years ago, we couldn't imagine how the gospel could be spread to every creature on the face of the planet. How it could be taken around the world, where that someone could stand in one place and speak, and the whole world be able to hear. It was beyond our imagination. And yet today, through the internet, through radio, through television, the gospel goes around the world. It's available on every part of the globe. I want you to think about that. If you have the right piece of equipment, you could go anywhere on the globe and you could listen to me speaking to you. Doesn't matter where, but you could. Some of this became possible because of the invention of the internet. Some of it became possible because of satellites that are circling the globe in space, that are rebroadcasting the message that's transmitted up to them. It's beaming it back down to those remote points. I have sitting in my office 4 satellite models. One of them is a model of the original DirecTV satellite. And most people are familiar with DirecTV because it was one of the first television services that was available by satellite. I have modeled the weather satellite that is up there projecting the weather and beaming it back to the Weather Bureau and giving them clues as to how weather events are going to take place. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, this was not possible. You know what excites me, and it should be exciting to all believers, is there are no prophecies that must be fulfilled before he raptures the church out of here and makes his return as King of Kings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 17 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Think about it. Those of us alive today, our eyes will most likely see the glory of the coming of the Lord, of the rapture of the church. Many of us who are alive right now will see this event take place. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not trying to set a time. I'm not trying to set a date. I'm not trying to set any of that. But I believe it's imminent. And friend, I want you to be ready because it is imminent. Now, I know there are some that teach that Jesus isn't coming for the church until the end of the tribulation period. but I believe the Word of God wholeheartedly teaches that He's taking His bride out of here before those events take place, because He doesn't want His bride, the church, to go through those events. So He's going to be coming for us. And some of us, some of you that are listening to this program today, will see this with your own eyes. And then, 7 years later, approximately, because we don't know if there's a space between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, that's being debated by many scholars. The Bible doesn't specify. But approximately 7 years after the rapture of the church, He's coming back then as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16 says, "And when I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." And I want to stop just a moment, because that's those who went up in the rapture, coming back with him as he comes back to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, setting up his kingdom here on planet Earth. Verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Think about it. There are those of us alive today who are going to witness these future events. Our eyes are going to see the glory. And if you are a child of God, if you're a born-again believer, you are going to be a part of this great event. You're not only going to see it, you're going to participate. The greatest event in the history of the world. The greatest event in the history of humankind. The coming of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you, as a believer, will be a part of it. You'll see it, from a upfront viewpoint. You'll see it taking place as Jesus goes forth. I want you to think about that a minute. You're going to be a part of one of the greatest events to take place on planet Earth. As I record this program today, the President of the United States happens to be visiting the capital city of the state that I live in, Nashville, Tennessee. And we watched on television a little bit earlier as his plane landed in Nashville and the procession to take him to the place where he was going to speak. An event that was watched by thousands of people as it happens. We're going to be part of an event that's going to be witnessed by the whole world as Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. And as children of God, joint heirs with Jesus, he says we will rule and reign with him. We get to see the glory. Our eyes will see the glory. But maybe you're listening to me today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know that he's waiting for you to make that decision. You see, when Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary, his blood was shed 2,000 years ago. He did it for you. If you were the only one that would ever accept it, he did it for you. I want you to think about that. Whosoever will can come. He can ask Jesus to come into their heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you've been on the fence. Maybe you've been a pretender. Had people fooled, thinking you were a child of God. Today is the day to make that decision. Because if you don't, your eyes are going to see something. And it's not the glory the way you want to see it. You're not going to see things that you want to see. You're not going to be a part of the events I just described, coming back to rule and reign. But you can be. Just simply say, Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner, and I need your blood to wash away my sin. Won't you come into my heart today? Cleanse me from all my sin. And welcome me into your kingdom. And I thank you for doing so, Jesus. For I've asked it in your name. Amen and amen. And if you've done that today, he's come into your heart. He's going to be your Lord and Savior. And you'll get to see with your own eyes these events as they take place. Won't you be a part of it? And if you have done so, please let us know. The announcer is going to give how to contact us in just a moment.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didascalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.